I told him on credit, Daddy just smiled. I'll never forget it. Daddy never was the Cadillac kind. He said something.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thank you very much for listening on this Friday morning. 251-343-0106. Still a bunch of guests to come on the program. Ohio U.S. State candidate Mark Paquita. That's in the next hour, as well as April Murray Fogel from Alabama Today, a Friday regular. Mark Paul DeMarco at 11 o'clock hour, and our returning champion state senator Chris Elliott in bottom of the hour and 11 o'clock hour. So please stay tuned to that. As I said, 251-343-0106. Hit us up on that text line. Join us now. Very pleased to bring on my next guest. Very kind to come on. We always appreciate it. You may remember him, former state senator Trip Pittman, on the line with us. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Doing well, Jeff. Just a businessman, trying to make a living out there.
It's getting pretty tough these days, I hear. Let's go, Brandon.
No, not really. I tell you, I'm scared about all the inflation and how we've overheated the economy. But the economy's pretty good in South Alabama, Northwest Florida right now. A lot of people wanting to move to the Gulf Coast and God's country.
How is the supply chain stuff impacting your business?
Well, it is. I mean, there are issues, and a lot of it's due to the fact that we have put so much technology into the equipment, the DEF fluid, so much that we've done under, for the environmental, stuff that causes more problems than you ever had with a diesel engine is caused by not only driving up the cost, but just the all the sensors and the stuff that they've added to it. That makes a minimal, I think, impact in the big scheme of things. I worry about asteroids and comets a whole lot more. But, that's caused issues. And all the parts that we get from overseas now, the trucking companies I know are having a really big problem with a lot of their sensors. So it is a challenge. And, we've taken away the ability of the shade tree mechanic. There's really not even a right to repair anymore because you can't fix stuff by yourself. You have to have computers. You can't work on your own car. You can't fix your own farm tractor. You can't fix your own piece of equipment. So we've really, with all this technology, there's an underlying attempt just to really tie everybody to the manufacturers.
It's such a dirty little trick, right? That you get, like you said, you're taking it out of the hands and made it impossible for the average working Joe to even work on their own car, but such as it is, I guess that's what technology can do.
It's not a dirty little. It's a big one, and it's about the money that gets made. When you have to pay $100 plus an hour for labor, and you have to buy parts, that health care. There's so many things that are working against the people out there that are trying to go to work every day and raise their families and make a living. And now we throw in the insidious scourge of inflation, in which the government robs, They'll accept robbing $2 a year out of your pocket for every 100, but now it's going to be 5 or 6 or 7 or 8. So, yeah, we face a lot of challenges, Jeff, but, you just have to be an optimist and get up every day and be responsible and take care of yourself and your family. And as my mom said, if everybody took care of themselves and their families, we wouldn't have a lot of problems.
Yeah, and a lot of your own success, I mean, you do in this country still really determine your own destiny in some ways, that we cannot get in the trap of blaming government for our own shortcomings. That the government does things that could make it more difficult or can make it easier in some cases. But I think that's something conservatives got to be very careful of, is blaming the federal government for anything like that, based on our economic system.
Well, I think I'm more of a libertarian now. The Republicans have, in a lot of ways, have embraced big government. The Republican philosophy when I was growing up was, and of course, libertarians came out of the Republican Party, but the Republicans embraced limited government, embraced that, what you do for yourself, you do for yourself. Government, defense, infrastructure, some of the big scheme of things they took care of, and now they're involved with broadband and all of healthcare and in so many different areas that they have lots of strings attached, and that is a big concern. And that's I'm concerned about my children, my children's children, and their ability to be entrepreneurs and be able to do their own thing and not be tied to some kind of hourly job that that really doesn't pay you enough to live, and two people have to work with the inflation and the cost of living now.
Well, let me ask you this, a libertarian perspective here, and I'm sure you watch this really closely. What the legislature did in this special session, several weeks ago, with the vaccine mandates, and a lot of pushback from the business community, the BCA, telling you Republicans in Montgomery are telling businesses what they can and cannot do. That is not conservative of you. That is the road to socialism, AOC's America, which I thought was kind of silly, but that seemed to be the line we heard from like Cameron Smith and other guys like that. Those, not that far off. I'm not being facetious either. But what was your take on that? Did the legislature do the right thing there?
I think they did. The bill, they're trying to do the right thing by trying to say that you can't mandate the vaccine. Those that will sacrifice a little freedom for a little security will have neither. You're trying to say, you shouldn't, your job, whatever you do, shouldn't be tied to a vaccine that, is for a cold where the mortality rates are 1%. And usually there's, other factors that are involved in those that have bad outcomes. So, yes. And then this, hypocritic for the business groups that are, the oligarchs that are out there taking the taxpayers' dollars through tax credits and incentives and all kinds of advantages to then try to turn the table. And the reason they did it was because they don't want to risk any of the federal largeness that they're getting, and put at risk with the money that they're getting from the bigger government that has no fiscal responsibility and can print money, the federal government. So that was all trying to me, there wasn't any philosophy by them. It was just brass tacks politics of money and not wanting to jeopardize their any relationship with the federal government.
Well, I think the lesson here, though, is we tout the virtues of getting federal money and how great it is to have Richard Shelby and any of these members of our congressional delegation on these appropriations committees, but federal money is strings attached. People need to realize that federal government money, they use it to try to influence behavior and get people to do things like take a vaccine or something like that. And that ought to be the lesson coming out of this, that you're gonna live by the federal government. You might metaphorically die by the federal government.
When I was a budget chairman for 8 years, and it self-imposed term limits on myself, and then I ran for the U.S. Senate when Jeff Sessions became, U.S. Attorney when Trump was elected. I ran because, having been budget chairman, you see all those strings. And when they give you money, it actually ends up costing you possibly more money to implement the strings. And then they pass all of these rules that will force us to, under contracts, to hire people at the, that have written the legislation at the federal level to implement it. Our state employees, in a lot of cases, we enforce you to buy software and systems and things that are then used to help try to pay for it and implement it. So, yes, there's no free lunch, and the federal government spending, not real money. They're spending printed money, which is now leading to the inflation. So, yes, there's strings attached. And, one of the most insidious ever was when hospitals that did not want to be forced to terminate the lives of the innocent children. That's a debate on abortion, just like on death penalty. But what they said was, if you choose to not do abortions, you will not get your federal money. So, that shows you how far they'll go with it. They'll terminate life in order to make sure that they're omnipotent with their printed money, their fiat currency.
Joined by 4th State Senator Trip Pittman here on the program. Senator, let's move it to what's going on here in Alabama. I don't know where you are on this U.S. Senate race right now, if you've even given it much thought, but how closely are you paying attention to this? Or just something maybe wait to the first of the year to start talking about? It seems like one campaign is still kind of doing the business of D.C. with the Brooks campaign, and he's locked down in his congressional responsibilities. Katie Britt is out and about, and I think she's made up a lot of ground here. Well, what's your take on this contest?
well, obviously, a U.S. Senate seat is very critical, you know, one of 100 with the ability to speak and to gum up. I mean, look at what Manchin, thank goodness we have Joe Manchin to help slow down a lot of what Biden's trying to do. So it's a very critical thing. And you don't get, you know, I was in a U.S. Senate race, and I understand this is a big boy politics, and they don't want to take, you know, they want to get Katie Britt in. I mean, Katie Britt's the chosen person. You know, she worked for Richard Shelby, you know, who was a, you know, Richard Shelby's a lot of things, but a conservative's not one of them. I mean, he talks the talk. He was a Democrat. He's an appropriator. She worked for him as his communication director. She's a nice lady. You know, I like Wesley and Katie a lot. You know, they're Alabama fans. Roll Tide. You know, Katie was a Crimson girl at the university. Wes was a football player. Katie was elected president of the SGA. She was the machine candidate at the university. You know, the SGA presidents at Auburn, Alabama, automatically get jobs with Alabama Power Company. That starts off early. But, you know, she's out there. She's doing what I did when I first ran in a special election. And she's getting the billboards out. She's building her name ID. She's painting a good picture. And then when they realize that she can't win on her own merit, they put Michael Durant in the race, specifically to try to pull away votes, you know, from Mo in the northern part of the state and from the defense industry, and painting him as a, you know, a pro-Trump conservative businessman. So, you know, it's amazing to me that, you know, Mike Durant would allow himself to be used like that. And the money that he has is obviously coming from somewhere. And I would, if you could ever peel back the onion, you'd find probably a lot of the money that's behind Katie Britt's also behind Michael Durant. You know, Mo Brooks is a good man, and, you know, I'm not involved. I'm not endorsing. I ran against him when I ran for the Senate. But I do think that Mo Brooks is somebody that's is a solid conservative and believes in limited government. And, you know, it's not personal because, you know, I'm going to vote for, you know, probably vote, you'll probably vote Republican. We'll vote Republican. Let me say that. Again, the Libertarian Party came from the Republican Party, but this is full-blown, hard-nosed politics, and it's about getting Katie Britt, you know, somebody very close to Richard Shelby and thus to Mitch McConnell, to the U.S. Senate.
And the Durant thing is very interesting that you point out that he's playing the role of spoiler there. It is peculiar to me, and these things happen in politics. Weird and wacky things happen, but he announced, he did a few radio interviews. Now, I did find out he was doing some fundraising up in Washington, D.C., but he really hasn't been on the radar in state since that big announcement.
Yeah, again, he's getting a lot of help. You know, I got none when I ran. Nobody wanted me, and nobody wants Trip Pittman in Washington, D.C. They didn't want me in Montgomery, Alabama, because I rocked the boat, you know, and try to question what the status quo. I'm a limited government person. You know, I tried to zero out people in the budget. But people are all about trying to divide up the money. And there's a lot of money in Washington. That's the insidious, you know, part of the deficit spending problem is people can get more government than they pay for. And there's so much money out of government, which means it can influence so many things. And so they want people that will play the game. And there's, you know, there's so many people that fake right and run left. The new friends that they make because of the amount of money, you know, which is why, you know, your term limits are important. Not being able to run for one office if you hold another office. Trying to get new blood into politics and create the opportunity for the people to be represented, because the only people that have a chance of representing the people are the people that get elected. And so I get real frustrated by it, and it's hard for me to listen and watch it. I still care, but you know, I fought the battles. It's almost impossible to win because politics is a team sport, and it's hard to keep the team all together. And in some cases, the team blocks worse than the Alabama offensive line.
Hey, last question. We'll get you out of here on this gubernatorial election. Looking at it right now, CNN reporting, and I don't think it's the worst-kept secret in Alabama, that Linda Blanchard's not going to run for Senate. She's going to run for governor, and that announcement's supposed to come next week. But I don't know that she'll be a player in the gubernatorial sweepstakes, whatever you want to call them. But do you think there's an opening here against Governor Ivey, or is it a fool's errand to try to run this cycle against her?
I'll say this about Governor Ivey. I've known Kay a long time, and she's a good person, and I like Kay. again, you know, I think there is an opening because I think, you know, she split the baby on the vaccine mandates and what she did or didn't do. I think that having run, you know, in politics, the Republicans are conservatives, and so they tend to want to vote for people that they have voted for before. And so somebody that's never run, you know, the new face, the dark horse comes out of the Democratic Party, McGovern, Clinton, Obama. You know, they're going to come out of the Democrat. The Republicans are going to vote for somebody they know. They've never voted for Linda Blanchard. It's going to be a real hard row for her to hoe. I don't think she can do it. I think Governor Ivey will probably be reelected. But my question to her is, we need to make sure that she's not going to expand Obamacare. Where is she? You know, she needs to try to bring her back on the gambling issues. And we need to make sure that she's going to be firm and standing up, not with, you know, smoke and mirrors and curtains, but is she going to stand up for individual liberty and for the rights of people to work and not, you know, panic again and use all of these health issues to further erode our liberty. So there's a lot of questions and a lot of commitments she needs to make, and hopefully Linda Blanchard or whoever, you know, people in the race or people that will get in the race will try to get some more commitments from Governor Ivey, because if you get her commitment, I think she'll live up to it.
Senator, you've been very kind to make time for us, so let's talk again soon.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Roll Tide, roll. Everybody have a great weekend. God bless.
State Senator Trip Pittman, a little bit of a potty mouth there at the very end, but we'll forgive him for that. Got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5.
I'm a soul. Hand me my hat. Excuse me, man, but where's the door?